there is such a wonderful time when we are in the presence of the Lord and He is here. It's so good. And you know, I don't have to convince you. I don't have to try to prove it to you, but I do know. What was that? I do know. I should have no fear. I don't know what that was. But I do know this, though. I do know that when God is here, it is something special. I am I am a very rational person when it comes to faith. I am not a type of person that just believes and God can do the great thing, because that's just naturally comes to me. I am skeptical. I analyze. I'm not as negative as Jose. But I'm just a realist when it comes to reality of this world. I really do believe in having a clear understanding of things. That's just the way I am. I like to know why, how. And when it comes to faith, it's not easy for me. Because if the Bible says that we have been given authority to raise the dead, there's a lot of wheels that are going on in my head. How is that even possible? How do we have ability to do these things as Jesus said we could, or to heal the sick, or raise the dead, or cast out demons? All these things I start to wonder. And then the words that Jesus says, like, ask anything in my name and it will be done. I have a hard time processing that because I don't understand how it's possible. But what I do understand is this, is that His word does not lie. You know, the Bible says in Titus 1:2 that God who does not lie, God is the one who does not lie. So, and if we believe according to 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired by God, all scripture is God breathed, if we believe that this book that we call the Bible is inspired by God, and according to Titus, God does not lie, and according to Numbers 23:19 that God is not a liar, if we believe these words that are in here, then everything in here must be the truth. And that's how I come to faith. I come to faith through reasoning. The Bible says that Abraham reasoned with God that he could bring back his son if he was dead. He reasoned, he thought, he processed, and says, okay, Abraham, just imagine Abraham, okay, you created Adam and Eve. I remember hearing the story. I remember the story of Noah. I heard about that while I was hanging out in Mesopotamia, and you came to me while I was in my father's house amongst all these other gods, and you showed yourself to me. I have to trust what you say. And so Abraham reasoned, and he knew that God was with him. He was with him when he left his father's inheritance and went to a land that was not his own. He was with him when he received all this favor from people and all these gifts and property and wealth. God was with him, and so Abraham came up with a thought. Either God is a liar or God's telling the truth. And Abraham decided to put his faith in God's word, that he spoke truth, and because of that, his faith was credited to him as righteousness, because he believed that God was true. And so when it comes to my faith, I'm the same way. The reason why I believe that God can do the impossible is because He said He could. He's shown this. And this word is true. This word is true. Every single thing in here is truth. And if you notice the songs we sang today, we went back to the old classics. Of course, they're not as classic as some of the songs that we could sing, but they're classics in the world of churches. But you notice that when the songs that we sang, like I Exalt Thee, what is that based off? That's based off of what people did in the scriptures, that we exalt you most high. When we sang songs that His glory fills the earth, the whole earth is full of His glory, that comes from the Word of God. These people believed when they were writing the songs, they believed what the Word of God said. And even the last song, Learning to Lead, that we know that His power is made perfect in our weakness, that I don't have to be strong on my own. All I have to do is lean upon You, Jesus, because You are already the strength that I need. And it all comes back to the Word of God. So this morning, I want to finish. This morning, I like to finish what I started last week as far as my message. We talked on the question of what do you see? What do you see? Because a lot of times we base reality upon what we see. And we see a shortage. We see a health condition. We see problems. We see the things that are in front of us. And that shapes our reality. And last week the Lord asked you, what do you see? What do you believe? What are you hoping for? And we read from Psalm 24, and I like to read from this again. This whole chapter says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing, a blessing from the Lord, and the vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted, you ancient doors. The King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. The Lord of the heavenly host. He is the King of glory. I want you to know this. The reason why David believed in the King of glory, the reason why David believed in every single thing about God, that God was the one who was going to vindicate him. God was the one who was going to bring blessings to him. God was the one who was going to allow him to stand in his presence. God was the one who was going to lift up him who was strong and mighty and going to provide the victory in battle. The reason why David believed all of it was because he believed the very first chapter in the Bible. You see, what we talked about last week, I didn't put on the first couple verses. Because, see, the first couple verses is the framework, it's the foundation of where David believed who God was. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. David realized that from the very beginning, this place, what we see, everything that walks, everything that breathes, everything that lives, came from and was established by the one who is above the earth. God is the one who made the earth. God is the one. And the reason why I say the very first chapter in the Bible David believed was because there's only one chapter that David alludes to that fits the description that he is going to say. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. But listen to verse 2. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. David did not make this up on his own. David did not go around and try to look up on the internet and say, okay, who made this place? He didn't go and look up Babylonian history or Mesopotamian history. He didn't go and try to find out what the Canaanites said. David knew exactly who and how this place was created. It was from the one who spoke it into being. It was from God. And that story is only found in one chapter, Genesis 1. It was the one who established it, who founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. This is important because the Bible tells us this, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that there was this darkness that was over the face of the deep. Now, many people like to say that, oh, this is just chaos and God was over the chaos. Let me tell you something. God made darkness. It's not something that's wicked. It's not something that's evil. It can be used in that light. And John, in the Gospel of John, does use light and dark to contrast God and evil. But remember this, that at the end of chapter 1 in Genesis, he says this, that everything God made was good. Everything. And so God creates this place and he establishes the heavens and the earth. And then what he does then is he puts this water, and in this midst of the water, underneath it is the earth. In this water. And the water is important because the Spirit of God is hovering over the water. This was not something wicked or evil or chaos. This is not where the gap theory comes in and this is, you know, the world was perfect and then Satan and his angels mess it up and then God had to cover it with water. No, that's garbage. It's not what the Bible says. Jeremiah references this darkness and this chaos that people allude to. But that's not God. God is not a God of disorder. God is not a God of chaos. God knew exactly what he was doing, and he did it for a reason. And do you know who believed this? Peter. Peter is the one who repeats this. Peter's the one that tells us that it was out of water, that the world came from water, and out of water it came. Peter knows what happened in Genesis, and David knows what happened in Genesis, that God established the waters. There was darkness because why? There was no light. That's all. The absence of light creates darkness. And over this water, the Spirit of God was hovering. God was here in the midst, waiting to see and to move and to act. And then the Bible says, God said, and it's this phrase will be repeated over and over again. In Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God put light. And then on day 2, God is going to create the firmament. God is going to create this visual, this dome, this solid barrier over the earth. The very same thing that the Bible talks about all throughout Scripture. Amos talks about God on the vaulted dome. Eliphaz talks about in Job about how there's a vaulted sky, a vaulted dome over us. Even today's scientists will tell you that in order for you to understand how the stars look, you got to go out there and you got to imagine that we live underneath a upside down cereal bowl. That's what they tell you. In order for you to understand the stars, you got to imagine we live in an upside down cereal bowl. But they don't want you to believe that, so they say, but there's no bowl. Don't worry about the bowl, but that's what it looks like. Where did they get these ideas from? This is what the Bible says. And I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. And I'm telling you what David believed. David believed that the waters founded the earth, that the earth was founded on waters, that the earth came from water. Where did he get this idea from? The firmament. And day 2, God creates this firmament. And you look up the word, and it simply means a solid dome over the earth. And that God says he put water above it and water below it. The same water that sits upon, that God's throne is built upon, the waters of heaven, the celestial seas. And then there's this firmament. And then there's water below it. And then on day 3, God withdraws some of the water and the earth is revealed. The earth comes forth. The land that we live on, this very land, came from water. And that's what David is telling us, that he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. And I challenge you today that if you truly want to believe in the King of Glory the way David believed, the way David believed when he stepped out on the battlefield knowing that this victory is secure because my God is with me. The same David who faced the giant and who knew that God was going to slay the giant because God was with him is because he believed God's word. And it starts with the first chapter. That's truly what faith is about. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 is going to show us why it is so important to have faith in God's word. And it starts with Genesis. David believed in the King of Glory. I want you to believe in the King of Glory. Listen, I don't want to be a type of pastor. Let me just rephrase that. I don't want to be a type of Christian that just believes in God and then goes through life hoping things work out. I don't want to be a type of Christian that just lives a good moral life. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus that believes that he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is absolutely nothing that can stop what God wants to do in our life, in this church, in this town. I want to be a man who believes in the same God that Noah believed in. When God told him to build a boat and there was never was rain upon the earth, I want to believe in the same God who promised the child and even after 24 years still believed that God was going to be faithful. I want to be a man who believes that we can walk around the enemy's territory for 7 days and then blow our horns and shout and watch the walls fall down. I want to be a man who believes that God can lead us out of slavery into abundance. I want to be a man who believes in the same God that Elisha believed in, that Jeremiah believed in, that David believed in, that Jesus told us who he was. I want to believe in that God. And so I'm not satisfied with just faith because I can believe that God can hold off the snow or God can make things happen so that I find the first parking spot in a parking lot. No, I want to believe a God that's bigger. I want to believe in the God who created the heavens and the earth. I want to believe in the God who founded this place upon water. I want to believe in the God who spoke and it happened. That's called faith. Now, faith is confidence, Hebrews chapter 1. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Listen, our hope is not based upon things that we wish. Our hope is based upon the promises and the spoken word of God. Our hope is founded in Jesus. Our hope is in Him. And when God makes a promise, you better hold on to it. When God speaks a promise to you, you better hold on to it. I am not a type of person that has dreams and remembers them. And just the other day, my wife prayed. And just 2 days ago, my wife prayed and prayed for me to sleep well and to have a good dream. And, and I'm thinking, okay, sure, a good dream. So I go to sleep that night and I wake up and I actually had a dream. And listen, I just don't dream that much. At least I don't remember it when I wake up. But I had a dream. And I remember I was in my basement and I was getting ready to start a Bible study. And I was in our basement and the time setting was of the days of old because our basement wasn't finished. And it was just like when we first moved in years ago. And so the time setting was like the days of old. And the people there, I recognized, but I couldn't remember their faces. So I'm going to say you were there, but I can't remember who was actually there. And there was a lot of people there. There was people there, but there was only two individuals that I knew were there. And one was this gentleman named Roger, who was a friend and who we knew through Pine Island. And another gentleman was there. His name was Roger as well. And he's a friend that actually wanted us to come to Fairmont years ago, days of old. And so I'm getting ready to start this Bible study, and I recognize the two gentlemen that are there, these two friends. And I'm getting ready to start, and I was supposed to start a video, but I didn't. I ended up just saying, you know what, let's just talk about the Word. And I started to talk about the Word, and I started to talk about who we are and all this. And I just began to go through this Bible study. And I didn't use the video. I just did a Bible study. And then I woke up. I mean, it wasn't even that good of a dream. But I just woke up. And the Lord immediately told me. He says, do you know what I want you to do, son? Do you know what I ask you to do? Do you understand what I desire from you, what I want you to do? Because the subject that I was talking about in the Bible study is the subject that I've been studying for these last 4 years. On the universe, on Genesis, on the Bible, on who we are, what it means. And so I've been writing about this for the last 4 years. And the Lord asked me when I woke up, do you know what I'm asking you to do? Do you know? Do you understand? And immediately I said, and now this is not the dream. So the Lord, I wake up and the Lord's like, do you understand what I'm wanting you to do? Do you understand what I'm asking you to do? And immediately I responded without even thinking about it. Roger, Roger. Roger, Roger. Friends in the dream. I acknowledge the command you give me, Lord. Roger that. You see, we have to be people of the Word. We have to be people that hold on to what Jesus says, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what is coming against us. We have to be people that are steadfast in Him. And that is the hope that we have. It is in His Word. And faith is the confidence, believing and acknowledging that I will not yield, but I will stay confident in what you've said. Confident. An assurance of what we do not see. We don't have to see it in order to know it. We don't have to see it in order to know that God's word will not fail. And that's why we have faith. And then the author of Hebrews tells us, gives us a definition of faith. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. So we have confidence in his word and we are satisfied. The evidence that we have, we don't have to see it. We know it because it's God's word. And then he says this. This is what the ancients were commended for. Who were the ancients? They were people, and he's going to list a whole bunch of them, like Abraham and Noah and Moses and Isaac. Well, why is Isaac in there? But Isaac, he's going to list the people that had faith in God. And he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And now he's going to explain why. He says this, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Do you understand what the author of Hebrews is trying to tell you? That your faith needs to be rooted in the very first chapter of the Bible. Your faith needs to be rooted in the one who speaks and makes it happen. That's what David believed. David believed that this world was founded upon the seas. Why? Because that's what Genesis told him. And that's what God said. I pray that we would be people of faith. And it starts with the very first thing. Can we believe what God said? Can we believe this creation story? Can we believe what God said? Can we believe what God has spoken all throughout the Old Testament? Can we believe that his love will never fail? Can we believe that he has chosen us as his people? Can we believe that he is coming back? Can we believe what Jesus said when he said that I will return? Can we believe it? That's where faith is. And the reason why I believe that all of us can have that kind of faith, it's not because we are supernatural people. It's not because we have everything going for us. It's because we do not have to see what we know. And we do not have to have it in front of us to know that our victory is secure, that the promises that God has made will come to pass, and that there is not one promise that he's ever spoken that has failed us. Can you think about that? He told that to the people of Israel. There's not one promise spoken that have ever failed. So why would God fail you? So when it comes time to those moments when you are saying, God, I need you, God, 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 God. I just want you to know this, that when God said, let there be light, there was light. And when God says that I would never fail you, he'll never fail you. And when God says, trust in me and do not lean upon your own understanding, trust him. Trust him. Because he is the one who's going to make your path straight. He is the one that's going to watch over you. And so this morning, let's be people of faith. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know that God will be there. I don't know the problems that we'll face, but I know the one who will bring the solution. I don't know what we're going to be facing even this afternoon, but I know this, that God's word is something you can depend on, you can trust. David believed in the King of Glory because he believed what God said. Let's believe in the King of Glory because he still speaks. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for your people this morning. Lord, what a good day of being in your presence it has been. And Lord, I am so thankful that the King of Glory was with us this morning, that you were here in this place. I acknowledge that you are above all things, and we worship you and honor you as the King Most High. But Lord, we live down here upon this earth. We live here in this place that is still going through darkness and evil. So Father, we look to you because we know that you are here with us. Because we know that the earth and all that is in it belongs to you. That you still are above all things, including our governments, our banks, our hospitals, everything. And so we look to you, Lord, in these moments. We do not get discouraged. We do not doubt, but we believe because we know that your word is something that we can be assured of and that we don't have to see in order to believe because we know that your word never fails. And we believe that just as you spoke in Genesis 1, you will speak in our life. And when you speak, Lord, you will accomplish your word. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would accomplish your word in their life. Whatever problem, whatever situation, I don't care how big it is, God, you are still God, and you are bigger. And so, Lord, give us the faith, give us the trust, give us the hope. And Lord, when we feel weak, may we lean upon you. May we find our strength, knowing that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, that it is in our weakness that your power is made perfect. So I pray this by the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. In his name, all God's people said, amen. God bless you.